Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Said,
yeah, I'm all right, man. Nice. Still breathing. What about you?
Oh, yeah, still breathing and more.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's the more?
Just still breathing and me and more. I love you.
Yeah, more. You've been working out today?
Oh, big bloody time. Yeah, done a little 50-minute
5-0
kickboxing exercise. Yeah, 5-0.
Nice. What, on YouTube or just self-taught?
Yeah, you know, shout out my HasFit tribe.
Nice. One time at school, this is random, but I lied about being really good at karate.
Oh, yeah.
And in front of the whole class, the teacher was like, Hugo, you're really good at karate. Would you mind showing us the moves? And I was like, yeah. Basically, just made it up. I thought that's what you might be doing in your living room.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I'd sort of go with my own wave.
Mm.
If one of the examples he's telling me to do is slightly too hard for me.
Yeah, just do the sort of press-ups on your knees.
On your knees, yeah. Yeah.
It's fine, that counts.
Come on, I've done loads of his exercises. This one I could do on my knees.
I'll do the next one properly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about you? You've been exercising?
Nah, not recently, you know.
You don't need
Like walking the dog an hour a day.
Yeah, that burns a lot, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it can do. Depends how far you go.
Do
you know what I mean?
How far did I go? An hour?
I'll tell you, about 6K.
Ooh, that's all right. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. That's the job. You know what I mean? Keeps me in shape.
At a dog's pace, are you running alongside it?
Yeah, sprinting.
Are you throwing a ball and chasing yourself, trying to beat the dog?
Yeah, licking his ass and just sort of getting distracted by other walkers.
Yeah, sick. Well, you know, whatever gets you in shape.
Yeah, jump up at them. They love it.
Yeah. Nice. Do you know who else loves all that?
Tell me.
Oh, today's guest.
It's a common hobby.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I can't guarantee if they like it, but it links in nicely, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Today's guest is someone very special. Someone who we've been fans of from early. Someone whose tracks have never left my Percy playlist.
Never.
Someone that hails from many parts of the world, but help shape the Brum sound and put 0121 on the map. Not only is this person a violently skilled lyricist, but he's also been known to sing sweet tones on a record.
Bring the pain, baby.
Yeah. And has mastered the art of songmaking. The rapper, the clothing brand owner, the singer, Brum's finest, it's Yassine Rose. Bang, bang, bang.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Hey, yes, man, lad.
Nice.
Okay.
Hello.
Bumping that rosé
all day.
What are you saying?
Yeah, good, man. How are you?
To finally, like, are we on? Is this it?
We're on and popping, baby.
Yeah, we're on, bro.
Popping, baby.
This is it. You know what we were just saying as well? You're the only rapper that's coming on time as well.
I like to be on time. Do you know what? I was the worst for that shit, you know?
Yeah.
I used to have people waiting outside my house for hours and shit, bro.
When
the business gets involved, bro, I have to be on time. You know?
You gotta be on time, man. Yeah.
The last couple of years, bro, I like to pride myself on that shit.
That's what everyone says about Rose. They're like, damn, he's always on time. Yeah. How's the last fucking year been for you, bro?
It's been crazy, bro, but it's been sick, man. Like, I hate to say it because I know a lot of people like had a rough year. It was one of the best years of my life for me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Productive,
bro. And just got on with it, man. I felt like the world paused for me. Do you know what I'm saying? And I just got to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I was saying this earlier because I just did an interview with Grim Sickers for his new radio show.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Shout out Grim.
Exactly. You know what? His album sounded crazy as well.
Yeah.
I was saying to him, I was like, of the one good thing about me, like if the one talent I might have is that I could just make good things out of bad situations, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a good year, bro. I got married. I did everything I need to do. Do you know what I'm saying? I got to catch up with my music, bro. Like life is moving so fast.
Yeah.
I didn't get time to sit down with my music. And this was a good time for that.
Yeah, I feel like, obviously it was a weird time, but creatively, strangely enough, when it feels like there's no rush for something, no like competition, it's actually when you feel like, I do want to do shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I do want to get creative.
I feel like for the creative people, it's definitely, bro, people should have took this as a blessing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The world literally stopped for us. We were the only people that could carry on working.
Yeah, it's true.
Everybody else, man. So it's a blessing for me, bro.
Yeah.
I'm over it now, though. I want everything to open back up now. I'm ready.
Yeah. Stop playing live and enjoying it.
Yeah. Listen, a year's enough to stack creatively, and then we're ready to go. Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of artists holding on to stuff at the moment because of lockdown. They were so productive, but they're worried about dropping it, about timing. And I rate that you dropped it when people needed it.
Hopefully, but you know what's mad? The reason I dropped that, like I was working on Brum Life 2 and we started working on that and then lockdown happened and we still carried on working on it. Like when we thought lockdown would be a short period, after a bit, bro, when I realized like this shit ain't opening back up, I said to the ex, I was like, you know what? Brum Life's too big to be put out during lockdown. Like we want to put shows. I want the artists to come freely, you know what I'm saying? And work and this and that. So I was like, you know what? Let's pause that for a bit, but let's still put something out quickly kind of thing. Like we've already promised music. It's been a long time. We've started working. And that's how 3310 came about. But really, it was supposed to be Brum Life 2. But shouts out to lockdown. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's sick, though. I think it's like you guys said, a lot of people are scared to drop things. But this is a time where people are listening to things, are needing things to get them through. Do you know what I mean?
And they got time.
And I know this might just be the taster of what's to come, but it was super important. Do you know what I mean? It's interesting you say about you wanted freedom for artists to come and go easier than lockdown or whatever, because 3310, you've just got your brother, JK and Bowser, innit? So it's all a bum
to. Exactly.
Yeah.
With that album as well, bro, like, we kind of just locked into space, creating this bubble where, like, because the whole thing with this album, bro, the whole thing with my music is like, I never want to do what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of like, when we started to make Brum Life 2, I said to DX, I was like, bro, we need to come up with like a whole new sound. Like before me and DX fully linked up, before I made him like the sole producer for the whole album, I was going from studio to studio and everybody was kind of playing sick music, but it was all on the like basis of what's happening today. A lot of drill,
Yeah.
And I was just like, there was no inspiration for me. I hate copying people. Do you know what I'm saying? Or feel like I'm copying people.
Yeah.
It gets boring.
It does, bro. Do you know what I'm saying?
Unless someone evolves it into their own.
Yeah. If you do thing. Exactly. That's what I say about drill. I like when people like, do their own, put their own twist to it, like Pop Smoke did, for instance. But when it just becomes repetitive and they're using the same flow, the same sound, the same lingos, it's like you just be another one of them to jump on it.
Yeah, I feel like that happens with all sounds, though. Like when Grime first came out, you had your 30 superheroes that all had their own style, innit? And then there's a whole wave of that where they would just do just a classic grime sound and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what's happening now with drill, innit?
It's just get rinsed out, bro. Instead of leaving that to the people that do that, well,
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I want to be seen, so I'm going to jump on that. Things just get rinsed out quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like with this, bro, we just came up with a whole new sound.
Yeah.
And that's what just got us going, man. That's what inspired me again to release music and stuff, because that's the main thing for me, bro. Like, it really needs to mean something to me. I need to be proud of it. I need to know that I've done something new or added something to the culture, as opposed to just...
Yeah, for sure.
Doing the same.
I mean, we can tell because it's been a while. Do you know what I mean? We talk about this all the time. Like, when I message you, where's the new music? Where's the new music? It's good that you don't just put it out just for the sake of it. You put it out when you actually, like, do you know what I mean? Like, feel something.
It was ages, bro. Like I said, I was going from studio to studio. I recorded lots of bits, you know what I'm saying? But just nothing I wanted to release, man. Nothing, like, there wasn't enough of it. And again, I like to release bodies of work. I don't like to just put out the one song. I like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
This is a very useful part of the show. For when you need things to do, it's the recommendation part.
But yeah, we'll talk more on the album in depth in a bit. But just to start with, like, I guess obviously we've all been indoors more than we'd like to be. So we've been watching things. I know me and you have been talking about things and that, but have you got any recommendations or any things you've been watching for the people?
Bro, you're my best recommender, by the way. 4 Blocks, bro. Yeah. He just came out of that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I want to rewatch the whole thing, but definitely 4 Blocks, which is up there. That's the German one. Then Gamora. I keep telling you about Gamora, man.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Have you heard of Gamora or watched it?
No, I've heard of it.
You need to definitely tap in, man.
I've seen the film and I've seen series one. The film. But I need to get back on it, man.
Definitely, man. I just seen that they've got like a spin-off for it called The Immortal about the main character. I won't give too much away, but
I'm
about to watch that, yeah. Other than that, bro, my top 4 shows ever is starting with Gamora, secondly Sopranos. I know you're a big fan of Sopranos.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And then it'd have to be 4 Blocks.
Hard.
Shouts out to Tony and Abbas, bro. Yeah.
What's sick about that show as well is that it's a lot of real rappers from Berlin and that, and it just feels like it's not just made, like it feels like the people involved at, you know, they're part of that world, and you can feel that when you watch it. Do you know what I mean?
Really, definitely, man. Really well put together, we've been looking into the German rap, bro.
Hard.
I've been chatting to the main character, Abbas. Basil.
Yeah.
Damn, he's just crazy, bro. But as soon as this all opens up, I'm looking to land out there and get in touch.
Yeah, shout out Gringo as well. He's hard, isn't he?
Jesus, all of them, man.
Yeah.
The Europeans are killing it right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like it's always been like that, like, you know, especially with like Paris, France, like those places always held the rap scene down really well. Like,
massive. I watched a documentary on a French rapper and they're doing massive stadiums. Like,
yeah.
Like, and there's not one Stormzy. There's like 20 Stormzy. Amazing.
Yeah, sick. I'm still waiting for that French TV series though, man. Obviously, there's La Haine and...
What's this Les Miserables one? I can't even pronounce.
Yeah, you need to watch that, man. That's on Netflix as well.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, that's new. It's hard. You need to watch La Haine first.
Definitely.
And then watch that. But I feel like there needs to be a TV series, man. Be sick,
right? And not only that, we need some better stuff happening here, man.
Yeah, I know.
Up until now, you guys have got the best TV show to come out of, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but thank you, bro.
We need like a Top Boy is good, but Top Boy is like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Just that.
Yeah, it's just one part of the culture, isn't it? Yeah. We need to see something with all the international gangs, different people from different cultures and that, for sure.
Yeah,
man.
And also, like, everything's always based in London. It's boring. Like, Top Boy's not boring, but...
Top Boy's sick, but the reality is, people are getting bits from everywhere, so it should be all mixed. Do you know what I mean? And people are flying up to Brum, people are flying up to Manny.
Bro, I was just going to say, most of the stuff is coming from outside of London.
Yeah.
England, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely, man. London's too expensive and it's got like the vibes going, man. That's why like artists from Birmingham, Manchester, like they're more interesting and sick.
Yeah. I hear that.
But it is all changing. I mean, look at music, bro. Look at music like fucking 10 years ago. You weren't getting people like in the charts for Manny and Brum and that. Do you know what I mean? So it's all evolving, man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just how it works, isn't it?
I like to compare it to, like, if you look back at the hip-hop game in the US, where it started off in New York and then moved up to LA and then down south and stuff.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, baby. And it's just kind of like that.
Yeah, because there was a time in the 80s where it was, like, people would think West Coast shit's whack. You know, we can't believe it now. You've got Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and everything. But like,
NWA, like, put people onto West Coast rap, like, only when they came out. Sick.
But yeah, man, but the thing is, we'll always, the same as in America, they always look to New York for the recognition or, like, kind of need certified.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where we kind of didn't give a fuck. And I feel like it worked for us, where we was like, bro, fuck, like, what they're doing over there or what, like, obviously we respect it highly and it's all good and that. But it was like a vice, but like they weren't really fucking with us. So we we figured, you know what, just do our own thing and eventually they'll start to see.
They'll take notice. Yeah.
Well, it's like what's happened just with UK music in general. Everyone used to look towards America like, oh, well, exactly. we need them to. Yeah. Once they stopped, suddenly they're what, do you know what I mean? So that's just how it is, isn't it?
I feel like, I feel Skepta was the guy who kind of stopped it. Like,
yeah, it was just like, low it, whatever.
Yeah, low it.
Like, I hear that. Shouts out to Skepta 100, but a lot of Skepta's inspiration to move that way came from him visiting Birmingham, came from, you know what I'm saying?
I know. Like, even his gut, like, you see us with the People Do Nothing, with the old school guns and that, that's how we used to do it. And then when that changed, I'd go to, like, Custard Factory or wherever. I got to Birmingham, and I'm talking about, like, when everyone would say was wearing, like, New Era caps, dressing more American. Here I go up there in Birmingham, everyone's wearing Lacoste and shit like that.
Exactly.
And I'm like, then when I see Skepta, I'm like, rah, he's dressing like the Manny and Birmingham dons back then. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and he obviously, like, bro, no matter how big or how small you are, you get inspiration from everywhere.
Yeah.
And he saw the organicness and the, like, we didn't give a fuck out, or like, we weren't trying to, we were so far from radio play that we didn't even entertain it. So we literally was making songs for people around us, for people that enjoyed the stuff, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Without thinking too deep into it. And I feel like he definitely saw that. Because remember the Straight Up remix?
Of course.
That was, you look back at that, that was a pivotal moment for the whole of the UK going back into grime, which was definitely led by Skepta. Do you know what I'm saying? But it definitely was like, he drew a lot of inspiration from here, bro. Like, we just
100%. You can tell.
We created our own little scene, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Well, on that note, where did it all start for you, bro? Like, What was your first, like, thing, like, creatively? Was it rapping? Was it MCing? Was it the clothes? Like, what was the thing that, like, inspired you when you was young? And how did it start?
Bruv, like, I loved hip-hop all my life, like, heavily, like, Tupac and stuff like that. Like, I was a heavy West Coast man.
What are you saying, back in the day? Where were you born as well?
So I was born in Sudan, in Africa, in a little bit more than fashion.
Yeah.
And then we used to travel back and forth because of my pops. He's from the UK. Well, he's half Irish, a quarter English, a quarter Indian.
Wow. Oh, well, hold on. Let's get your full mix first. And then where's your mum from?
My pops's mother is Irish.
Yeah.
Like, one of the most influential women in my life. Like, she kind of, like, when my everybody gave up on me kind of thing as a kid, she was like, she took over my life kind of thing. Used to take me to school, all sorts. And she married my grandfather, who was here during the war, and he's half Indian, half English.
Right.
Then you got my mother, who was in Sudan. Her father's from Libya.
Right.
Such a mad long story. And he migrated from Libya during the war, actually walked from Libya with his mother to Sudan. And halfway through in Chad, his mother passed away.
Wow.
So he was about 7 years old at the time. It's crazy. Like, oh, 7-year-old those days is like a 17-year-old now.
Of course, yeah.
So he met, this was in Chad, like halfway between Libya and Sudan.
Yeah.
And met a little kid his age, like a little Chadian kid, or whatever you call them. And they got two donkeys together, or two horses together, or something. And he carried on the mission with him to Sudan, like just this little orphan kid. And my granddad ended up in Sudan by the age of like 10, 11 years old in this little village where I was later born. I was born in his house, the same house that he eventually built.
Yeah.
And he ended up in Sudan, fair-skinned in Sudan, which is everybody's dark skin. He married my grandmother, who's Sudanese, very dark skin. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of weird. And then my dad, years later, traveled to Sudan, like kind of just traveled over there. And that's how he met my mum, and that's how I came about. Do you know what I'm saying? Wow. Anyway, so back and forth after I was born, my dad would, like, literally one day, my dad would walk in the room like, we're leaving back to England tomorrow. Like, what the fuck? Like that, I did that all my life up until I was 17, 18.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Was that always to Brumlin?
At the beginning, it was to London. I used to live, I used to live down like around Ealing, that sort of way.
Yeah, yeah, really? West. That's near Brentford, bruv.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the studio is as well. I remember that.
Yeah.
Ealing, man. And So, yeah, that was until, like, it was back and forth to London until, like, I was six, seven years old. Then we'd move to Birmingham. So then it was back and forth to Birmingham. And then when I got to, like, 18, 17, 18, kind of just stayed in Birmingham and go back for holidays and whatnot to visit.
Bruh.
And I had my cousin out there. So the question was about the music, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my cousin out there a few years older than me, yeah. I remember coming back to Sudan once, like, when I was, like, 12 years old. And he was like, translate this for me. I was like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, took me into a room and stuff, little cassette player, and played Tupac. And he was like, tell me what he's saying. And like, looking back, he must have been so invested in this person that he was like, yo, I need to know what he's saying.
This is fucking hard. I don't know what he's saying.
Exactly.
But this is me.
I remember saying to him, but there's a lot of swear words, like, I'm not allowed to swear. He's like, shut up, man. Just fucking tell me what's going on. And bro, like, I just ended up, he was like I said, he was a few years older than me. And he was proper, like, on this gangster shit, if you'd call it. And I just followed him, bro. I just literally from that tape and explaining to him what, kind of explaining, because I didn't really know what the fuck Tupac was saying.
Yeah.
From there on, bro, it was just like me and him was walking around in Tupac t-shirts.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck Biggie, you can't listen to Biggie.
Yeah.
Illuminati on my mind soon.
You know, like that, bro. Yeah. It was crazy. And he just used to take me to these mad, like, you can't even call them raves, bro. They're like just these mad link-ups that people his age was having.
That sounds sick.
It was like Tupac schools, you know what I'm saying?
Like
who could look the most like Tupac? Obviously, I was too fucking fair skin, but everybody else, bro, they're shaving their head, they're doing the bandana, they're writing thug life on this, bro. It was crazy.
That's hard. Out in Libya, yeah?
No, this is in Sudan.
Sudan, yeah. Fuck, yeah. Were they interested in, like, the sort of political aspect that you're coming from as well? And, like, because of what's happening there? Or were they literally just like, this is sick and we're into the gangster shit, even though
they're
not
from there? What the political aspect that Tupac had?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, you know, but they was all on the same shit. They were doing their gangster shit, like,
over Right. So it's like narrating their life.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody saying to me, like, my friend, one of my very good friends here, he's really into New York shit. Like, I love all of it, but, like, West Coast is my thing. And I was like, and we were talking about it one day, and he was like, do you know what it is? It makes sense. Like, because you were in a hot country where LA music was kind of like, it was made for driving around in hot countries. And he goes, like, the New York stuff was more relatable to
you. Yeah, him. You know, it would have been fucked if you're going to try and wear the puffy jackets and the big woolly hats, isn't it?
A lot of people fainting.
Whereas, like, Tupac was just, like, reckless.
And a lot of West Coast is super melodic as well, like Bone Thugs. Even Tupac, like, he kind of sings. There's harmonies in there.
The first proper album I listened to, like, again, in Sudan, what you'd have to do was just wait for somebody to borrow your CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, there was no TV, no fucking radio, nothing. And I remember, like, when my boy had come and he gave me crazy ball thug mentality.
Oh shit, yeah.
HUG Weeby, that's the first album, like a proper.
That's quite niche as well. One of their solo albums.
It's mad. The guy that gave it to me, he was doing the same thing from America, like traveling back and forth.
So okay.
Come with all the new shit and pass it on, and he was like, "I need to listen to this." But yeah, and you're right. It was very melodic, man. When I think back of it, like I remember as well. Like I didn't watch any music videos again because. So say I started listening to that around 12.
Yeah.
And it come back to the UK till 14. And when I came back, I put all my friends on. And then I kind of learned, I didn't know there was music. I don't know. I just didn't ever think about music videos. And I remember like one day somebody showed me a Tupac music video, bro. And it was that sick. I was like, oh my fucking days. We was envisioning it like ourselves.
Yeah.
Then when I seen it, I was like, yo, I need to get the fuck to LA, man.
Yassine's walking down by the ball ring like Tupac in California Love video.
Yeah, that's it. Do you reckon that's... Because I always wondered why you weren't... like, a lot of your friends are part of the grime scene, but I never really relate you to the grime scene. Like, because that's a very... You know, that's more of a... Like, I guess a British thing, isn't it? That's not like... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas you're more like this worldwide child that got... And to be honest, if you live in another country, you're going to hear things from America. You're not hearing them from England, really.
Grime was mad in Birmingham. It was like... It was almost fucking frowned upon by the street people. Like, it was like, what the fuck is that? When I was coming back, they were still listening to Tupac and Snoop Dogg and Dre. All the others and the Wu-Tangs and this and that. And it was only like a few kids over there kind of thing, doing their little grime thing.
Yeah.
And it just didn't never translate to us. And those days as well in grime, this is why I respect like my bro JK so much and stuff like, when people came in with the lyrics into grime, that's when I could fuck with it. That's when I was
sick.
But remember the early days, like it was just a lot
of... It's very simple. To be honest, like I'm 35 years old, innit? So I was there from before it. And at that time, I was mad into hip... Like I started off with Garage Jungle when I was younger and that. And then by that time, I was mad into hip hop. So I'm thinking, what? They're not really saying anything on this.
If you to hip hop, like you just wouldn't have understood. Years to get the whole grime thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're right. Like all my friends were always doing grime, and I even got like, they used to say to me, "Yo, come join this crew, join that crew." I was like, "What now?" I was like, "Man, I'm not.
I'm good, man.
I'm doing this." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't get into music till very late. Later on in my life, like,
oh really?
Yeah, my first project was in 2015, and I'd only been fucking about with music for like a couple years before then, just kind of messing about. My brother Tigger is his good friend at the time, the guy that I later on started the clothing companies with, Basil. They used to rap as kids, like I'm on about from Sudan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kind of moved to UK as well. So those two would like together all the time, and they formed a group. Like I even gave them their name for it and shit. I remember them running up to me like, "Give us no. Tigger ran up to me like, "I need a rap name." I was like, "Tigger." And then they carried on doing it. And then I remember I was in Leeds for like a year. I had to live up there for a bit. And my brother Tigger was there. He, every other weekend, he'd be like, "Oh, I'm going to London. I got a show to do." I was like, "What? What you mean show?" He's like, "Oh, like my rapping thing." Long story short, a few months later, he's like, "Oh yeah, I've got a big show at the Trafalgar Square. Remember, like, Love Music, Hate Racism."
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And he's like, "I'm doing that." I was like, "Trafalgar Square?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Come to this one, man." So it's like, you know, fuck this. This is looking like you are onto something.
Yeah.
So I remember I got on the train, went to London, coming up outside of the train station, the subway, and like it comes out into the square, and as I'm coming out, I can hear my brother's voice and Basil. I'm like, what? Yeah. I come out, and there's just fucking thousands of people, bro. Obviously, they'd had them on the bill, like earlier on the show. So I come out, and they're just two of them both running up and down the stage, just going mad in the crowds, feeling. I was like, yo. And then I remember they did like a standing ovation for them, or what would you call it, an encore. And like, they said, yo, please bring them kids back on, sort of thing. they brought them back on this and that. Anyway, long story short, when we get back home, I was like, yo, this is kind of serious. And they're like, you started doing this thing? He's like, yeah, man. I was like, you know what, then I'll build a studio and I'll learn how to make beats or something, but I'll make a studio. So he's like, I could take this shit serious. So we made the studio bit by bit. The equipment was coming, this and that. And then I remember we had the mic was one of the first things that came before, like the producing equipment. So like he put a beat on and I just started like kind of freestyling on it, just chatting shit. And it was terrible. But everybody I was hearing, it was like, yo, the thing is, you sound very good though. It sounds good. It sounds good. And then I was like, I was heavy out there. Do you know what I'm saying? So people was like, oh shit. And you're saying that, like, you're talking that shit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was, I swear, it was my friends. They used to keep saying like, yo, make us another song. I used to make a song for like 10, 15 people for them just to play.
That's sick. Yeah.
And a bit by bit, then I moved back to Birmingham and we're doing it more and more. And then I was like, you know what? We need to open a studio here. Went and got this massive fucking warehouse, bro, where kind of like the Birmingham scene kind of, bro, evolved from, do you know what I'm saying? There was things happening before there, but in this studio, like, it's the most famous studio to ever, you know what I'm saying? That we had in Birmingham, bro, like, everybody from JK to Sox to Daps to whoever you could think of, do you know what I'm saying? Hone their skills in there, bro. We learn how to make music in there, proper music. We record every day. We throw the maddest parties in there, like for like years, bro. And that's how Brum Life came about.
Okay.
And after a bit, it's like, bro, like everybody's coming here. Do you know what? It only makes sense for me to make an album like that.
Is that how you met everyone then? Was it through like word getting around that you're this guy that's got a studio or whatever? Or did you know a lot of them before it? Like, as in JK,
me and JK from the same ends, like down the road. He's a bit younger than me. So I was always like one of the oldest on the block. So it was just like he was doing his thing and he was kind of bubbling out there.
Yeah.
It's just like, obviously, we have to link up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we just straight away became like best friends kind of team, bro. I knew most of them, I knew or they knew of me, like from the roads kind of thing. And then,
yeah.
And we used to have we still have a good friend of ours called Subzy, who was Subzy.
I know about Subzy, hard.
He's a legend. He was active in the game and he kind of started bringing everybody to my studio, like Sox and whoever else, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bro, it just kind of, Birmingham's, it's a small city, like, you know, everybody knows who's who, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when, this is random, but my cousin used to live in Birmingham and I went there and I played your tune, I don't know why. Like maybe 2017. And when I was playing it, he was like, what'd you say his name was? And I said, Yassine Rosa. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I think I know who that is, you know? And I was like, the fact that he knew who you were from that tune was just like,
yeah.
Cool city.
Birmingham, stick like that, bro. Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows each other. Like, you're only 2-3 people away from each other, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I suppose if there's beef as well, it means you can easily bump into each other, innit?
And that's where kind of like where I came into it, because I was the only person that was cool with everybody. Everybody had their little beefs.
Yeah.
But like, when you're in the studio with me, bro, I don't give a shit if you got beef with him or him, bro. There's no beef happening here, do you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I was the only person I was able to make Brum Life. Like, a lot of people don't know, there was so much politics involved in Brum Life. Like, there's deep stuff that's passed down from families, bro. Like, there's beefs that have been going on for years.
Mm.
And for me to have put those, that was probably like my proudest, the thing I'm most proud of about that album. Being able to show people, bro, there's a bigger vision than just the little street beef. Let's just make this album, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because at first, a lot of people was like, fuck that, I'm not going on an album with him. I'm not... Let alone a song, like, they didn't even want to be on the same album.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know I'm saying, we've come a long way from there now. Like, but again, those days, bro, like, there were no studio. Well, there was, but there was no like, and no artists had their own studio.
Yeah,
there was no hub for everybody to come to. There was no like, there wasn't really a scene. There was just like a few people over there doing their thing.
No, man, the hub's so important. Like, if my room wasn't my bedroom studio wasn't a hub. Like, it was meant to be for music, but really, like, built friendships there.
Yeah, that's how we done. People just do nothing, isn't
it? Without that, this
they, and they always start with somewhere basically that you can smoke.
Yeah,
so you've got that in common, and then you get creative, and then it might be It was meant to be music, but ended up being, do you know what I mean, filming each other. And
that's kind of like where a lot of the stuff that we see today kind of came from, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I was responsible for any of it. I'm just saying that studio was like the vibe that we all built together.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just a home for the Birmingham scene, do you know what I'm saying? Like, first time Jammer and Skepta and stuff used to come around. Stuff like that. They would come there, that was the place to come.
Yeah.
Anybody that was coming out of town was like, come there. And it wasn't just rappers as well. We had cameramen, we had photographers, we were doing clothing. The first bits of merch to come out of Birmingham was, we did because Invasion Alert were popping. You had Invasion Alert and you had Sting.
Yeah.
They were like the two that were doing
it.
And I was just like, the fuck, like, you got all these fans and you're not selling anything. And this is just before, like, again, people was releasing, like, on iTunes and Spotify. I think it was even before Spotify was about. And that's how we started making clothes. It was like, bro, you got all these fans that want to wear your shit, they want to buy your shit, sort of thing. And we made the T-shirts and it was proper successful. Then we started doing adverts for the T-shirts. And we, you know what I'm saying? We just started to turn it into more of something we can actually live off, as opposed to it was just people were having fun, then going to work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
After it became, this can actually become a living, something you love doing.
Like, and sustainable rather than looking to like, are we going to blow? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, now let's earn some money ourselves because we can't wait to just blow. You know what I mean?
Actually, bro, nobody was thinking about blowing, bro.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Especially, like I said, that time, being from if you're not from, I mean, it's hard enough doing music anyway, trying to blow, but at least if you're from London, that's where everyone's looking. If you're not from there, then you got to think of other ways, innit?
Definitely, man. Definitely. And again, I think with us not caring about that is the reason that everybody came, bro, like I was saying earlier, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a fucking beautiful journey, bro.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo! Yo! Ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK stand up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it! Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Is that where Life Clothing started then, around that time?
Bro, I came out of prison, bro, and my friend, the guy I'm on about, Basil, him and my brother, Tigger, they both came and picked me up from jail in Liverpool. As soon as I jumped in, Basil, like, slapped a T-shirt on the dashboard, and I was like, what's this? He's like, you ain't got to sell no more.
Yes!
He's like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do, like, clothing, brands, you know what I'm saying? And I've always been into, like fashion and stuff, if that's that's what you call it.
See a double Prada right now. Fresh.
Yo, so he slapped that there. He's like, this is what we're going to do. It wasn't life. It was something called, it's called Die. So we had one before called Die, which stood for Death is Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we had the Die clothing thing and it was going off. And then in the studio, this studio that I'm on about, like I said, we was throwing these mad parties. We was just living our life there. And we started this thing called, and I had a few different friends living in the studio. Like, and it was just like this creative sick hub, bro, where like we're just making shit happen and stuff. And we started this term called Studio Life. Like, people used to come in and be like, how the fuck are you like living here? Like, kind of thing. And it was like, oh, you don't know about Studio Life. And we just kept saying Studio Life, Studio Life. Then my boys phoned me again, Basil and Lizas, Leon. They then started doing the clothing thing together. I was part of it as well. And he was like, yo, you need to just do some shit called Life, like drop the studio and just Life, like that's you all over. Do you know what I'm saying? And he came with the phrase, live yours, fuck everything.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know that, bro.
Yeah.
Sick.
Didn't know what I stood for.
Because it can be like a bit, misleading, do you know what I'm saying? Like, live yours, fuck everything. I love
it. I'm fucking it.
So again, bro, that came through that, and then it just went the fuck off. At the beginning, like, we kind of just made, I just made t-shirts for us and caps, and it was just for us. And then people, I remember somebody tweeted me. I used to get tweets saying, yo, when can we buy the Life stuff? I was like, oh, nah, like, you lot can buy a Die. Life is just for us. Kind of knew.
You don't die, we live.
I knew eventually I'm probably going to put this out. And I remember one kid tweeting me saying, nah, but that's not fair. I was like, fuck, you know, like, is that this? Like, that's when I learned that you really are doing this stuff for other people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we just released it, bro. And then when I wanted to put this tape together, putting all the Birmingham artists in one, and I needed a name, it was like, yo, Brum Life, like Life and Brum kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we've just been running with it ever since, bro. But it's kind of like fucking, it's just outgrown me now.
There's an important lesson, though, in the fact that all the things that you've done have always been for, like, when you first started spitting, it was for yourself and the people around you. Do you know what I mean? Like when you first started Life, it was for yourself and the people around you. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And if you do that, it means you care about it. Then people are attracted to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the same with People Just Do Nothing. Like, we literally filmed it so we could watch it back. Just so our friends could laugh at it or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because if you do things and you look at, like, what the end goal is, you're never going to get there.
Never, bro. And you know what? As much as people probably don't even think about it, but people know when something's organic or when it's been forced.
Yeah,
100.
Too much, you know what I'm saying? And
you can feel it.
Especially in England, bro. Like, we're not like America. Like, British people don't like things being forced down there. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Exactly, yeah. They can sniff out a mile off, mate.
Yeah. Like, if you walk into a shop here and someone goes, do you need help? And within the you're like, nah.
They think I'm trying to rob something.
In America, within 2 seconds, they're like, you need any help today, sir?
Yeah, it pisses me off, man.
Yeah.
So. Even though they're just doing their job, I'm all like in my mind, they're just overdoing it. Either overdoing it or they think I'm up to no good or whatever, so I just don't want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're kind of bred for that, do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as something comes out, you see, make sure whatever it is, you just...
We gotta get it.
Yeah. Like, they actually believe that they're being patriotic by spending money in their... probably are, but they really believe that, do you know what I'm saying? Like, as a true American, I must, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's the land of the capitalists, isn't it, man? It's where it all came from.
Have you like ever done a show in Birmingham?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
what do you think?
Hard. Like,
yeah, always good, man.
It's hard for Brummies to show love, do you know what I'm saying? They're very, like...
It's mad because we never see that. Like, we actually...
Yeah.
Depends what the crowd is. If it's like a uni crowd, they're not really from Brum, innit? So they're just getting in, innit? If it's like a mixed crowd, you can see. But I think it's different with us because they know we're fucking about.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be something we're not. Like, we're basically fucking about, taking the piss out of ourselves a little bit, while having fun. So if you don't want to have fun, you look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we just want everyone to have a good time. We're not trying to convince the crowd that we're the best.
Yeah.
Like, even though I know I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, in that moment.
You know, the first time I found out about you, so I got put onto JK. Actually, Marcus, you know, Marky, Taste Cadet.
Yeah.
He put me onto JK and you early. Obviously, not as early as some of the things you're talking about, but like he put me onto JK and then I found out about Invasion and all that. And you know, like when you're watching YouTube and then other things are popping up and stuff, and then you come up. It was Work with Socks.
Okay.
Yeah, which like that's still like one of my favorite tunes, man. Probably because it's the first time I heard you, innit? And then fucking the song that changed my life, everyone's life. Fucking, I don't know why. That hasn't left my playlist since I found out about it. Mm. And I can listen to it once a day.
I'm starting to worry if I'll ever top it, bro.
It's mad. I mean, things are different. Things progress. You should never want to top it, I guess, because you need, like you said before, you want to be progressing. You want to be changing it. But I can still listen to that every day. Like when I was doing a bit of research and writing for this about you, I put it on again and I was like, is that the first time I heard it?
Yeah.
Talk us through how that tune came about and who made it and shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's so mad. This is why I trust processes, because that song, bro, it was E-Day. I was making Life and Times, yeah?
Yeah.
And it was E-Day. And about 7, 8 o'clock, it was just me and Tinga in the studio with the engineer. And I pulled this beat up. And I was waiting for the man to come, like, we was going to have a little session. I had, like, fucking 20 people coming around and that. Yeah. And, bro, I had this beat on. Like, it's a very hazy memory. I had this beat on. And I just said, like, a couple of things to Tinga. Tinga's like, yeah, that sounds good. So I've gone into the booth. Like, I kind of go back and forth into the booth. Like, I don't write nothing down.
Yeah. Right. Biggie style, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. So I've gone into the booth. And I put a few things down. I come back out. As every time I come out, a few more people have come into the studio. And like, it ends up being a party. And this song in the background. And every now and then the engineer's like, yo, what you saying? Like, what the fuck? This song's still running.
This is the soundtrack to the party.
I come back in, put a few more bars and just got it on loop. I go put a few more bars. Then I think like I did the hook. Then I just stopped there. Then I came back, revisited it, finished it off. Then the day I filmed the video, then I put it into the album. But like, I wasn't thinking too much of it. I had songs like I'd gone in deeper and thought more about and stuff like that. That's why it's not even the first. It's like the third video I filmed off of Life and Times. And then I threw like a big street party. I'd opened a new cafe, so we threw, and it was on this sick like road. So I set up this party, like a street barbecue. And I phoned the cameraman. I said, yo, I'm going to film a video there tomorrow. Come. He was like, what tune? I was like, I don't know, but come and we'll figure it out. So he came and it was such a mad day. I'm running around and he's there filming. He was like, what song are we doing? I was like, I don't know yet, but just keep filming all of this. And then we'll tie it into something. And he'd come to me every few hours. He's like, yo, are you ready to like perform something? I was like, later. Then he came back about 8 o'clock. He's still filming the whole day. Came back at 8, he's like, bro, it's getting late. Like, do you know what song? And I was like, you know what? Pick one of these. I gave him like 3 songs. And I remember my friend saying something like, my friend Lizus, he'd heard one of the songs and kept saying this bar to me. He was there at the party mistake, kept saying to me, yeah, what's that bar? New number, old shuttles or something, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
He kept saying that to me. So I was like, you know what? Do that one. And bro, we just filmed it. And boom, that song just went the fuck off. I couldn't even, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I was saying I trust in like the organic stuff and not overthinking stuff. And you know what I'm saying? And just letting things flow, bro. Cause that's
even the what like what's in the video, like the fact that like so many people are just out and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You know when you try to organize stuff like that, it's hard.
Yeah, I hate shooting videos, by the way, so long.
It was a bit of a fact.
It's fucking long, but that was just and it fitted in so perfect. That's what I'm saying. It was all a fluke, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it was Sipo, you WhatsApped me at the Spotify, and I was in the car, and I was like, I played it and I was like, what the fuck is this? Is amazing. Like,
yeah, he crashed the car.
Who is this?
The whip.
And then I went to my studio in Ealing, and then I must have played it to a couple guys in there, and they were the same as me, like, what the fuck is this? Is sick. And then found the video.
I remember I just landed in Palmer, where DX is from, where label partners are from. And I opened my DMs and Twitter. It's like just before Instagram was the one. And I'd had a DM from you, Beats.
Yeah.
And he was like, I remember the words. He was like, I don't know why it's a slammer. S-C-H-L-W-L. I remember saying to you, oh, why don't you do a Speed Garage remix to it? And you're like, I don't actually do that shit. I was like, what do you mean? It's just a joke. I remember figure out the whole thing. But yeah, man, it was fucking, I don't know why, it was crazy. To this day, a lot of people tell me to re-release it and stuff, like, professionally.
It is. You know, like, you don't need to, man. It's perfect.
Again, that was forcing the whole thing again.
Yeah.
You know, who made the beat then?
Bruv, it's some Canadian kid like that I just found on YouTube. The beat that I'd found on YouTube was something else. So then we went onto his website. Because that's what I used to do. I used to just sometimes find producers on there, go onto their website, hit them up and say, yo, fucking, obviously you want to sell beats, hit me up. And I found that beat. And then I remember later on, Nate Smalls did a version.
Oh, shit.
And I've never seen my phone go the fuck off like that. Like, people fighting, like, for me sort of thing. There was like, that's not your song, that's his song.
Yeah, man. That must be the theme for Berman. Because that song could be in the charts, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even talking about now there's better hip-hop in the charts. I mean, when they're, you know what I mean? Because it's catchy. It's like in the kindest way possible, it's like a pop tune. Do you know what I mean? Like a proper song.
That's why whenever, like, these businessmen come around, they're always like, yo, let me re-release this song for you. And I'm like, looks like I can't make another one.
I've got loads more.
Yeah.
This one, they're like, this one though.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, now.
Wait, listen, so talk to us about 3310, man. We spoke a little bit earlier, obviously, but you're looking to drop something like after the lockdown, but what was your thought process for this body of work?
3310, bro, it was like I started, me and DX had come together sort of thing.
He got married, formed as one.
Yeah.
He made all the, that's what I want to know as well, yeah? Where's he from, DX?
He's from Colombia, living in Parma.
Okay.
From Medellin, living in Parma.
Oh, wow. Shit, okay.
Mallorca gang,
bro. Fucking love it out there. My boy, Scott Adams, a.k.a. Cynical. A lot of people know him as Cynical. The guy that I started the label with.
Right.
He moved, again, as well. We went on holiday one day to Parma, to Magaluf.
No, why not?
Me, JK, Depps at the time, rest in peace. Depps, Socks, D2, like a lot of us, bro. It was Skepta had booked Jay and Depps and had to do the straight up remix, and that's first like link up with Skepta abroad kind of thing. Like he was putting them on. He's like, yo, come to fucking Magaluf to do the show with me. So obviously it was a big moment for all of us, bro. Like, so the ones that could flew out there. Anyway, long story short, bro, I hollered Cynical. Cynical had just come back from Magaluf the night before. And I'd just come back from somewhere as well, and Jay's phone me saying, yo, we're going to fucking Magaluf, Skepta show, this and that. I was like, yeah, therefore. So I phoned Cynical. I was like, blood, I know you just came back, but you need to come with us, because he used to film us those days.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, yeah, say fuck it, I'm on it. So I found him a ticket. I could only find a one-way there. I was like, look, I can only find a one-way. When we get there, we'll book a return. And he's like, yeah, fuck it, we go there. We forget about the return flight. And the day we're flying out, he's just like, oh, shit. And we're all looking at him, and he's like, don't worry, I'll come back tomorrow. Like, I'll go and book a ticket. This is like 5-6 years ago. He's still there. Yeah. He's still there. He got married to a girl from there, a Spanish girl. He's got a 6-year-old kid now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it's mad how life works. But anyway, so I used to go visit him out there.
Yeah.
The first time I went, he was like, because he films music. So he put his name out there as filming music videos. So he knew a couple rappers. And he was like, I'll take you to this rapper, like the biggest locally known rapper kind of thing. Went to his house. Shouts out Los Angeles, my boy. Went to his house, bro. Started recording. Came back to Palma a couple more times. The second or third time I went there, he was like, my boy, Los Angeles, the rapper, was like, I need to take you to this guy's studio. We go and it's DX, like with his home studio and stuff.
Right.
This is just after Life and Time. So this is like 3-4 years ago. And boom, me and him just like clicked, bro. It was like, he loved the way I was working. I loved the way he was working and stuff. And we just stayed in touch. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Car Boot Sale.
Yeah, of course.
That's the first song me and him made.
But you dropped like 3 songs at the time, right?
Yeah. I changed my name and shit, bro. I fucked up, man. Like,
people trying to find it. That's happened to me.
Yeah.
My shit got lost.
Yeah,
restart my Spotify all again to like clean it all up and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why the fuck I did all that.
At the time, it was a good idea.
It was like, this is what the fuck. But so me and him stayed in touch. I went back to Palma. Every time I go back to Palma, we'd record and shit. And then when I came, like I said, to start making Brum Life 2, and I'm visiting the studios around here, all the sick producers around here. Mm-hmm. And they're just playing me sick beats. I was saying earlier, but it was just very, like, it's things that everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Which I didn't want to do. And just, like, I couldn't get inspired, bro. And also, like, I wanted to fucking, like, just create something different, bro, to, like, anything that's out there. So one of the nights, I was like, boom, I just phoned DX. And we had this talk and whatnot. Like, I always knew, like, DX was musically just way too talented. A lot of the music he makes, bro, it's like movie soundtracks. It's almost like, do you know what I'm saying? And right, I know a lot of it at the time as well was heavily out the loop of what's happening here.
Okay.
So after our talk, and then he went back and researched the whole UK shit and stuff. Like, just saying, he's like, bro, he's one of the most talented people I've ever met and most passionate, which is more important than anything.
Yeah.
He treated this album like he made me have to like step my game up, do you know what I'm saying? And take it more seriously. And bro, he went and created a fucking sound, you know what I'm saying? Like things like that. I've never heard certain sounds together and especially not coming from out of here anyway. And so he's like, you know what, bro, you need to come here this time. So he's come. We're making Brum Life 2. And like I said, we stopped to start making 3310.
For the people that have been waiting as well for so long to have a body of work to release just you, innit?
That's what it was, bro. I was like, you know, popular, like, it's not, firstly, like, I haven't released nothing in a while. Second, in lockdown, like, we need Brum Life. We need the world to be open for Brum Life. Like, we want to do shows. We want, like I was saying earlier.
And with Brum Life 2, you're going to stick to the theme of the first one and have just loads of people from Brum on it kind of thing, or loads of like collaborations kind of thing.
Definitely, bro.
Yeah.
So he's like, bro, we need to release that now. And like, we've got a thing going on. Let's get to it.
Yeah. It's sick though. It's like you said, it's a sound that is just part of that album. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like
one of my favorite tunes on the album is Can't Stop. Yeah.
Ooh.
And I just love the way that it's like real hip hop, but it's trappy, but it's also got that 80s vibe to it.
That's insane, bro.
It hasn't got that like typical 808 snare on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine you saying that to the ex, because it's so easy to say. And then he went and actually fucking made that. I was thinking like that. I was like, it needs to be kind of like this and kind of trappy, but no, like just
saying.
And he was like, okay, bro, okay. And just fucked off. And he researched Small Heath, researched Burn, studied every artist sort of thing. Like he took it to a whole nother level, bro. And then
just soaked that all in.
Yeah, bro, and came to Birmingham with that.
It's a super cinematic album.
Yeah,
it is, bro.
which sure. I really loved about it. Can't Stop is a banger.
I can't count the amount of times that I've tried to do that to people. It doesn't have to be music with anything. So, you know that when you don't really, if you're not the producer, you're trying to explain it and then they come back, you're like, that's nothing what I meant. What the fuck is that?
That's why I got so gassed. I was like, oh shit, like, you really do know what you're doing. Do you know what I'm saying? More than I do. Like, I was just chatting shit, bro.
I was just pretending I know.
I was probably like halfway just trying to sound sick on the phone, like, yeah, you know, it needs to be this. And he was like, he went into the lab like a scientist, bro, and came out with this fucking amazing product, bro.
That's hard. That's
so
hard.
Did you record it all in Birmingham as well?
Yeah, bro, right. This is the booth, look.
That's sick.
And he's there, bro. So, for it to sound like a movie, I feel like it was because we'd made that conscious decision, bro, of just locking him here and mm-hmm. just not letting nobody in, blood, and literally living a movie. Like, we went into a two-week, like, bro, like, we didn't know what time it was, kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I swear, bro, like, we didn't leave this spot. We didn't, like, I was just literally checking in with everybody quickly, boom, back into like rapper mode, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Me and him were in like fucking Medellin kind of thing, blood, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Both with vests on.
I was dressing up every night. Like, I was abroad and that. I was like coming out in like open silk shirt. Sick. You know, like that. I walk in the room, he's like, where the fuck are you going? I'm like, I'm here, bro. You know?
Loads of bags of flour put into bricks around. Just play with it.
Like fake calls to the plug and that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drop 1,000 off. Yeah. 1,000 what? What? I don't know.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I'll tell you, bro, this is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich? Is it chicken? Is it salami? Is it cheese? Is it ham? Is it pickle? Is it jam? These are all questions I'm sure you are thinking. But right now you're gonna find out on the Chat and Shit podcast. Yeah, baby, come on.
Here's a question that we ask all our guests. But I know it's going to be close to your heart because me and you share a passion for food. We always talk about it. And I feel like it explains a lot about a person. What is your... And in fact, because it's you, I'm going to give you top three. What's your top three sandwiches of all time?
Ooh, sandwiches.
You can
It can be a handheld. It can be like one of mine's a shawarma.
As opposed to what? What's like... What's
not well, exactly. Shawarma, it doesn't have to be a burrito. It can be a shawarma. It can be a... Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Bro, do you know what? One of my favorite sandwiches is just like a cheese sandwich. That's my go-to. Like, if I ever buy a sandwich from like just a shelf or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheese like salad.
Simple.
I love Philly steak cheeses, even though I've never been to Philly cheese steak, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've never tried one, bro.
Banging, bro.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, banging. Proper banging. Then my third one is a sudden, like a, it's, well, falafel. But in Sudan, we'll put falafel in like a French baguette with better cheese.
Oh, nice.
And tahini sauce.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
That's definitely my top three.
And that sounds fire, that,
good
bro.
Cheeseburger as well. Good smashed cheeseburger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Smashed cheeseburger. Definitely. Yeah.
The one, do you know what I'm saying?
I think we're not allowed to put cheeseburger in them because people always pick a burger, innit? That's just too easy, that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure. But listen, so we come to the last part of the show. The three questions. And this part is we get basically all our guests to ask us three questions each.
To do with anything, yeah?
Anything. As weird, whatever.
So what was it like being in Japan? Firstly, like taking something like you said that started off in a bedroom to then becoming like a national hit show, bro. One of the best
crazy.
And then Ollie's the same people being together in Japan, making doing the biggest thing. Do you know what I mean? What was that like?
Do you know what? It was crazy. Like, I think all of us fell in love with it as well. You know, like sometimes you can be somewhere and some people are, oh, it's weird, I want to go back. We all loved the place. And just the fact that you're there with your best mates, like, I couldn't complain, bro. Like, I'm with my best mate, done this out of nothing.
That's what,
you know
I'm saying? Bro,
like, and they're paying me to be here and do this. Like,
yeah,
I've won.
It is surreal. I think, like, in the moment, because from when you get there until the end, pretty much it's all systems go. Like, you don't really have time to... You have moments, but not a lot to really enjoy it, like, until afterwards and when you get back. This is me.
That's like, ego style,
no,
yeah.
No, I enjoyed it at the time. I loved it. But especially with lockdown and coming back, now I'm like, oh, so blessed to have that opportunity, and it's such an amazing place.
That's as they say, a good segue onto my next question here. Did you have this dynamic already? Where did these characters stem from? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a good question. Me and Hugo, out of everyone, are probably the closest because we always had that. Hugo's had like a connection with all of them. I know all these boys through Hugo. Do you know what I mean? Apart from Dan, like Dequay was my mate, but like me and Hugo connected through music originally. And like, you know, like you said before, like when you just had those moments when you all just connected, that was me and Hugo when we first met. Now, and I didn't realise Hugo was just going to be this joke where that we've got exactly two different walks of life, two different parts of London, yeah? But exactly the same sense of humour, and it just clicked. And that chemistry is the same chemistry that is the chemistry we've got on a fucking film in Japan, do you know what I mean, when we're in character.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that with you at first, I remember meeting you and thinking that you were a character, and then you called me and you were like, yeah, you know those beats you gave me? Like, I do want them, and don't take it the wrong way that I don't want them, because I do, but don't wait around for me to do it. And I was like, yeah, no, that's perfect, because that's literally my life. And then I think from then on, then it was like, no, I'll come and do these tunes. That was kind of like the reason to meet up. But then after a few times, that was out the window.
More thing I want to ask you here. How long did it take? Because again, this is for the younger viewers, if there is any.
Yeah, of course. They're all like 19 to 25.
Yo, anybody doing shit here, how long did it take you from your idea in the bedroom to how successful it became? And how much effort and graft did you have to put in?
A lot, bro. It's still going on now. Do you know what I mean? Like, to be honest, the idea from the... And that's what I was saying before. You know, when you got people like, what's your 10-year plan? Or what's the end goal? Like, fuck that. Because it's not going to happen. You're going to be looking there and you'll be looking upwards and you'll trip up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just about doing bit by bit and surrounding yourself by people that are like-minded as well. Like, collaboration, like, for me is super important. I wouldn't have got anything done. I didn't think anything was possible. Do you know what I mean? I met these boys. We started talking about this idea. A few months later, Asim used to film hood videos, so he had a camera, Jabud. We filmed little things here and there. Oh, does it work? Yeah, that's kind of funny. Oh, our friends find it funny. Then their friends find it funny. You know, and then it just built up. And the short story is basically we put it on YouTube. And after about 3 years of just doing this for free, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then people started getting in touch because our work was speaking for itself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and fortunately, it never stops, really, does it? Like, there's always emails and conversations and things that have to be done on the go constantly.
And ours was a slow burner, man, but I think that's the best way.
I don't think we've reached the peak yet.
I didn't even know you released on YouTube beforehand.
Yeah, but this is before the stuff you've seen. It was all webisodes that we done... just ourselves, and not we didn't write it. It was all improv. That's what you're saying about the freestyling. Like we could all, Hugo used to freestyle as well. Like really, he just won't say talk about that. But like,
yeah, no, I was shit. But yeah, I participated. No, but
yeah, yeah.
Saying that, I would never freestyle in front of anyone ever. Only in my mind, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you made it sort of comfortable to go, yeah, yeah, just make a twat out of yourself. It's fine.
Yeah, start spitting, man.
I'm coming in after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, that's it, man. It's just everything we learned earlier, just trying. Oh yeah, and bro, like prank calls and stuff like that. All this stuff, we didn't realise that was us developing these characters, but it was just through terrorising. Do you know what I mean?
Do prank calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, early.
I get messages from people from my school from back in the day who go, oh man, I remember when you called, like my friend Ben from school messed me up, like, I remember when you called a bouncy castle company and booked it for over the road, and then you called them up and then got them to call them back. And I was like, fuck, did I do that? That's really good.
You know, man, I still do prank calls. I used to do this one where, say I'm like outside a restaurant in a car, just chilling for some reason. And I phoned the number on the restaurant and I could see the people sitting in there.
Yeah.
And I call and I say, hi, I need to speak to my dad. He's sitting there, his phone's dead. But he's in there, he's wearing this colour shirt sort of thing, this and that. Do you know what I'm saying? And we used to watch it, brother. And the guy would like walk all the way to the guy and say, his son's on the phone. The guy would take the phone. I used to get a kick out of that shit, bro.
Like, I love shit like that.
Yeah, so do I. But
yeah.
Hey, listen, man. On that note, brother, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for your time, bro.
Yeah, that's fucking sick, man.
Oh, yeah, last question. Yeah? Are you our new best friend?
100%. I'm trying to be the fourth member, either the sixth member of Corrupt FM or the fourth of Taste Minutes.
Come on. My God.
Real talk, man. Sick shit, man. It's been an honor.
Nah, thank you, brother. Really appreciate your time,
thank
man.
Thank you very much.
Everyone, inside, make some noise for Yassine Rose.
Yes. He's the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
And there you have it. How you feeling?
I think that was an instant classic.
That was an instant classic. You're glowing.
Yes, my webcam has a red light.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, I meant in a good way. You're glowing.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah, no, that was a journey, man. Sort of like, you know, I felt like I was topless on a horse in this sort of Sudan desert.
Nice.
What more could you ask for?
Exactly. Right, no, shout out Yassine, man. No,
yeah.
He's a G. He's a sick storyteller as well, man.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that he books flights with no return. I respect that.
Yeah, like yeah. That says something about him. He's willing to take risks.
Yeah, yeah. Always trust someone like that doesn't book a return.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true. Well, you lot, if you don't know Yassine Rose, check his music. Everything's on Spotify.
Yeah.
You've got Brum Life, Life and Times. Life and Times 2,
3310
is his latest project that he dropped.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Go stream it
much
all.
Much more to come from him in the future. Is it?
Yeah. Go watch the video for I Don't Know Why as well.
Hard.
Mm.
Hard. All right.
Brumtown Classics.
And then if you lot are good, 2022, you're going to have me, Hugo and Yassine in a video topless on the back of horses.
I can't wait for that.
Exactly.
What colour's your horse?
Green. I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, nice one, bro.
Safe, man. Are we actually going to sign off, yeah?
Yeah, well, no. We'll say bye now and then we're going to sign off.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, space bar and logic?
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Oh, yeah. Also, we forgot to say that you lot must like and subscribe as well, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Just click on it. It's real easy.
Lift your finger, drop it when you see the like or subscribe. Done. All right?
Done.
Yeah. Also, follow us on Instagram and our new Twitch account, because we will be doing live episodes on Twitch every now and then. So keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are The Chatting Shit Podcast. That's The Chatting Shit Podcast. All right? So follow us on both of them. And also, if you've got any questions, anything you want us to talk about, hit us up on the email. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. Nice one.
Sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up?
I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
No, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magendi.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout out all the posse down at ACAS Laboratory. Hip hop, hip hop. Am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.